today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
The class of 1989, James Madison High School, and I was responsible for the music. As you guys recall,
yes.
I got sort of roped into it, but you know what? At the end of
no,
it, was...
you didn't. No, you didn't.
No,
you
I was
love being the
he was
man.
He was asked.
I was asked. I was asked to be part of
yeah,
the planning
but you
committee.
You love that. You're an easy lay. I mean, you're
thank
just
you,
saying,
Mike.
I mean, no. It's like Rob would yes,
but
Rob, what, is there a chance? Yes.
Oh, we've had 13 deaths in our class, and that's a lot,
you
and it's scary.
That. That's such
no, it's scary.
Oh, what about the?
It's real.
What if you took that subset for society in general?
And yeah. It made me think. You know what? I'm glad I saw these people again. Well, my goody, how's this?
Go to the reunion and skip the funerals.
The control room is dying about the death rate.
Yeah, he loves death.
Well, they
he
were all murders.
No, they were not. No, they're not related, Pony.
They were all murders.
They're all murders.
Actually, Mike, they were all.
They're all murders.
From the same height.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Washington's best.
That's right. We're very excited. It's
yes.
The week.
Woo!
The week we wait all year long for. It's our trip out to Las Vegas, Nevada. Very, very, very excited. Very, very, very excited to be going back to the Council Chambers Theaters and the Zappos corporate headquarters. Thinking about all my vices and how I manage them. That's really what I begin to think about. Shows are going to be great. I can tell you that already. We're very, very excited about the plans that we have for the shows. So really, now that that's off the radar for me, because by this time we've got it kind of figured out what we're going to be doing.
Locked in.
I simply think about managing my vices.
Well, Mike, I know we all have weaknesses, but Las Vegas for you is like a safe zone because it's not a place that caters to your vices.
Yeah, I It must be a different euphoria for someone that loves to gamble, absolutely loves to gamble.
Do you remember the old cartoon?
It is, but,
right?
but there's a caveat.
Is it like a kid Christmas euphoria?
No.
Oscar, do you remember the old cartoons where a dog would smell food?
I'm asking the gambler.
And he would like be drawn to the food. He'd float.
I can see that, yeah.
I've seen it happen. We'd be checking into hotels at midnight after flying cross country, and you hear the siren call of the slot machines, and Mike would be drawn.
Las Vegas-style gambling.
Yes, gambling.
Las Vegas-style gambling.
It's a different type of gambling.
Yes. You go to Wisconsin to hunt. You go to Las Vegas to gamble.
How out of his mind is he already?
I try to give him the cue to let the man speak.
I'm trying to get a word. I'm yeah. trying to get a word in. And it's already... give him Ritalin or something. I mean, give him a... If he's like this on Monday, what's he going to be like on Friday? And
he'll
Saturday?
Be fine.
And by the way, don't call me fine. Him. Him has a name.
You.
Thank you.
No.
It was good.
All right. Full turn that off. Enough for the... By the way, that's not the one I wanted. I wanted the good one. The Elvis one.
Okay.
That's the one. Do you have the Elvis?
Of course.
Can you find the Elvis one while you're in the middle of interrupting? Let me just say, this is what I'm managing. I am managing the fact that I haven't talked about it, but we have really modified our trips to the bad place down here because it just wasn't fun anymore. And we have said that we will do a little gambling out in Las Vegas. So now it's even more important than it's been. But because I have modified it and I think about it differently now, I am less excited about it. Because I don't want to lose. And now if I don't want to lose, that's stupid. So I shouldn't do it in the first place. But I know that when I get there and I see the lights out there, baby, it's going to be so excited. Crank it up. This is the one I
bright
love.
Bright lights, city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul.
Hey, you know, no offense to our friend ZZ Top. But
well, this
can't
is the
compare
thing.
The two songs.
No, this is the thing right
I
here.
I thought there
this
was a it. Fidelity issue. I was like, why? Who? And I was like, oh, it's the ZZ Top version.
It's the ZZ Top crappy version that I had. It said Viva Las Vegas on my soundboard.
It worked. Just it got, worked.
I just didn't pre-play it. I didn't come to rehearsal. All right. So,
have you ever seen the movie?
Probably.
You
yeah,
should,
probably.
You know what? You should take 90 minutes and watch it because it's got Anne Margaret in it. It's his most entertaining movie, and it'll be good to get you geared up for it.
I will watch it this week. I will definitely try to
Does
watch it
Does it end
week.
In regret at the airport?
It ends where Elvis is fat, bloated, and down $200,000.
Before we go on with all the stuff I want to talk to you about, we've got some great stuff on the show today that I want to get off my chest, but I did want to say a few words just based on what I watched coming in here. I got up super early this morning, did show prep very early, and had about 15 minutes to kill, popped on HBO, and there was a restored documentary from 2018, I believe it is, where they took World War One footage and they remastered it. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that.
How they did this. I don't know how they did this. I don't know. The
I think it's fairly new, Mike.
Yeah, I think it's within the year. And is this the one that I'm thinking of where they used lip readers to find out what the people were saying?
Yes.
It's amazing.
And then in some cases, they dub it in.
They loop it in, yeah.
It is absolutely riveting. But through all of it, you get a sense of what this day is all about. And it just motivated me. It made me realize that so many people that have served this country, and I'm reading a book right now about World War II, and so it's been on my mind lately, that especially in this day and age, the guys and gals that go forward and serve, a lot of people, you hear this again and again, when did you join? I joined right after 9/11. I joined right after 9/11. I joined right after 9/11. And I think that when I look at my father's service, who served in World War II, it was a standard for men that age. You didn't; it wasn't a thought process.
No.
You did it. You volunteered.
Yeah.
And so many, yes, has there been a draft? Yeah, Vietnam we think of as people that were drafted. But at the same time, there were people who didn't answer the call and people that did go to Vietnam and lose their lives and serve and stuff like that. My point being that, by and large, these are people who answered the call for their country. And so one of the things I do, you might think it's jive, you might think it's trivial, I don't. When the opportunity presents itself and I become aware of meeting someone for the first time or seeing someone who's a veteran, I say thank you for your service. You might think it's a little thing. It's not. In all the times I've done it, I've never had it not responded to positively. No one's ever said, yeah, shut up, you don't need to say it. No, it's always appreciated. And it's a teeny tiny little thing that requires no effort on your part that you can do outside of coming out of your shell and maybe being a little less shy,
right,
to say that. And it means an awful lot. So that's the one thing I wanted to say on Veterans Day, is to take a moment to say that, because I think that's something, if you're inclined to do it, I make that suggestion to you. And if you make that suggestion to people as well, like your sons, your daughters, that's just a good solid thing to do, because there is a small part of me, and I couldn't put this in a post, but I can do it on this show. There will always be, being the son of a World War II veteran and being someone who was that close to Vietnam service, there will always be a tiny, tiny little piece of me that will feel a sense of, I think guilt is too strong a word, but maybe teeny, tiny bit of regret that I never put on the uniform for this country and served the country, because I just feel it really is important, because if you read a lot, which I do, and you read about history, which I do, and you realize that, unfortunately, bad things happen with countries and bad things happen with wars, and they have to be solved that barbaric way. And I wish war didn't exist, but it does. And until it doesn't, you need people to get out there and do it. And so I've always felt that there's a tremendous amount of lip service given to support the troops and support our veterans. But when you really, sometimes it's good to come out and explain it and really, really explain the fact that no matter whether you're on the front lines, in the supply office, behind the lines, working on planes, working as a mechanic, the overwhelming majority of those people have answered a call to service. Well, that's all he could do. That's crap. There are a lot of things he could do. He could be, working at a JCPenney somewhere. People answer the call. They choose to go into that line of work. They choose to go into the service. Some people are drafted, but they choose to answer the call of the draft board. So all these people are making a decision at some point to serve their country, and I never did. And so we do have a debt of gratitude to do that. And so I don't think it's jive to do it. I think it's important to point it out, and that's my way of kind of dealing with it, as well as we've had a few benefits over the years. Chad Dukes, Oscar's radio partner and host of the Big O and Duke show that Oscar also does, did a great, great thing for veteran suicide, and I should have mentioned it on Friday's show, which I didn't. And tell Chad I apologize for not doing. I'll plug it next time he does it.
We plugged it on the show. Mike, it's okay, the Chad Dukes Veterans Day Jamboree. It's the third annual, and he has raised for an independent, fundraiser.
He's a guy. He's just a guy doing it. Yeah,
I'm very proud, not just as a colleague of his and a friend, but just as the overall human that he continues. This is his third annual, and he goes out of pocket on his own to for a great charity, Stop Soldier Suicide. And he's very aware of what this means, especially for our vets to come back.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's hard. And this is a day that, I don't think that you give it lip service. I think you think and you pause and you think on Veterans Day about it. And it's not anything that that everybody shouldn't be aware of, especially with the world still messed up. You never know when the brush fire is going to happen. You never know. There are a lot of crazy things going on in this world around us. And those are the people every day, to this day, right now, people in harm's way wearing the uniform of the United States. So to the veterans out there, we love you and we support you. And I think that that's what's one of the really great things about America is that a lot of people can agree on that.
Yes.
Not a lot we can agree on politically, but we can certainly agree on that they put our, people in. And look, this is the same way I feel when this does not absolve people who wear a uniform in the police department or as veterans from bad behavior. But there are, no matter what you do, there are going to be exceptions to the rule. I am talking about as a whole that people who have served their country have done all of us a solid. That's
agreed.
The way I look at
agreed.
It. And it's not overly patriotic. I do think of a picture of my father that my sister got. I didn't get the picture. I got to have her make a copy of it. Now with this technology.
Well, Mike, she's great at giving pictures as presents.
There is a picture of, thank you, Kathy. There is a picture of my dad squatting down in with his skinny body and his skinny little knees as a young man in front of his bivouac in the South Pacific with Captain O'Mara on his hut that he's got in back of him. That is the greatest picture of my father that I have. And I just, I love that picture. And my father was someone who came back from World War II and did not talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
Did not like to, have it. He saw some things they all see. So I think the things that a lot of vets will tell you from World War II, if you're over there, is just the aftermath.
We're split by a generation, sort of. My grandfather, Big Daddy, was a World War II vet, and like your father, did not speak of it. Just didn't. At the very end of his life, I got a few stories out of him, but it wasn't anything he volunteered, and he was never self-aggrandizing about it. The stories were never about him. It was what was going on over there. But as I listened to him, it was so hard for me, and I wonder if it's the same for you. I had a hard time placing the man that I knew as an upstanding American citizen here in the States over there fighting in a war. It's almost like the two people can't exist as the same person. Do you have a hard time picturing your dad in that environment?
What I have a hard time thinking about is war in general.
Right.
And I think we are, with our cult, with our pop culture, we are so conditioned to our movies and our Westerns and
video
our
games.
Gun culture and how we, you know, you don't really think about it. And that's why, boy, this documentary from World War One.
Does it make me a Rube? I watched part of the documentary. There's another one.
I recorded it. I'm going to be watching it when I get
on Netflix that I finished the first episode yesterday, Mike, on World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I was educated in the public school system here, and we would watch these films, and I always make this, it's a Rube joke, but there is some truth underlying where I just don't, the black and white doesn't translate for me for some reason. It makes it seem like it didn't, like it's very.
In the World War One, they make a transition from the black and white to color, Oscar.
It's completely different.
It's like getting water, cold water thrown in your face because you're sitting there and you watch it and you go, oh, by the way, they've got Turner Classic Movies. Is that TCM?
Yeah.
They have restored silent movies now that are, you look at it and you're like, my God, yeah. 1925. This footage, as soon as they do a thing where you're looking at black and white leading into it, and then they go...
It spills across the screen, yes.
And it spills you across the screen, you go... Yeah.
The colorizing has come full... It's really, really come full circle. It's amazing what they can do.
It makes it real.
It used to be
the black and white guys walking with that little pace, you know, yes, that was...
Because the frame rate is wrong, right?
They didn't seem real. They didn't seem... And you look at that, and you're just like, wow, first of all, nothing's changed. Young guys,
wide-eyed guys
going into this month and then showing what the World War One, which arguably, if you read about it, was just the advent
of trench warfare,
but the advent of modern war technology, yeah, which was just devastating to human beings. And you see that where I come down is I really do think like this. All of our movies, pop culture, a lot of our movies about the future are all... Mad Max and Blood and Guts and Transformers and all, where I would love to think of evolution, of man's evolution, in a way to, you know, take the animal out of us a little bit and to evolve into a situation where we don't have to settle things that way, where it's just not. And I don't know, you know, if
modern
it'll ever happen.
Is gonna be played on over the internet.
That's what it's gonna be. Who knows? But I just think that my dream would be that a futuristic society is like, well, you're not blowing people apart or anything. It just I still think we turn into the animals, and when you look at that, it's just amazing these technologies that are created. And I mean, I hate to get too heavy with you here when I think about war, but the technologies that are created. And the thought that's given, and the precision, and the minds, the geniuses, the mathematical geniuses, and this mind power going into a machine that is designed to destroy other human beings.
It's
pretty amazing.
The advent of the atomic bomb.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, minds, great minds, and a lot of them who regretted it after the fact that went out there to think about how to create this weapon. You know, the original weapon of mass destruction, mm-hmm, and that we used in the United States,
and at the time they thought that would end war. They said, "Well, that's it."
Well, they thought, and you can make a case that rightly so, they thought it would save American lives. And if you had gone to a conventional invasion of Japan, they probably have a point.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's
it's
true.
Still, oh, you know, when you think about that, and it's you know, look. I think about how lucky I am that my dad came back from World War II. I think about after the fact that my mom's first husband, as a naval aviator, graduate of the Naval Academy, did not come back, and that was after the armistice, after World War II was over. So this is just a day where I think about how it's horrible, but it's what we do, and it's what we do to defend this country. And you got people that are diving into it right now, and I will always just have that awe of people that like a little kid. You know, when Colonel Colburn became a good friend of mine and took me down to see the barracks down there, the Marine Corps and the drill team and all that. That stuff is just still stunning to me. It really
What
it really
you say is very valid, and people should know that today, Veterans Day honors everyone who served. This, don't confuse this with Memorial Day, with the people
it's not
who,
Memorial Day,
when
right,
people have
right.
passed. So anyone you know that
but
has served.
But you can think about the veterans.
Of course you can. Of course you can. But anyone who has served is mm-hmm. being honored today. And everybody knows somebody. If it would it really blow your day to call them and say thank you, do it. Mm-hmm. Makes a difference.
Yep. Pony, what was the title?
It's The Greatest Events of World War II in Color.
Okay, that's the one. And the HBO special, if you don't mind. And there's a famous director. I can't.
Yeah, they when someone we were was young or
well,
something.
I think
like
it was
that.
The King Kong director, Peter Jackson. Peter Jackson, I think.
Yeah, he was part of that project.
Which explains why there was a large animated monkey behind all the troops in all the footage.
That movie is just that documentary is just a.
It's using technology so wisely. I mean, it's just
it's
a brilliant
so
use of it.
Incredible. I hope they take all the archival footage that they've had and put that out there.
I'm sure it'll be a part of a lesson plan, but it'll resonate more with kids when they see it
100%.
That way.
Oh, God, 100%. Yes. And, you know, not just the color, but the fact that they've been able to assign dialogue to it. I mean, even me, I love old things like nobody loves old things. Mm-hmm. I still can't wrap my head around a silent movie. I can't do it. It's just because it's such a different art form.
Watching a silent movie with my son about the Army, and he was riveted to it, and that was at 5:45 this morning.
Really?
We turned it. It was the first thing I turned on this morning, and it's just because it's been restored, it's easier to watch.
It can be restored because, you know, if you look at the stuff, so much of the footage we have of Vietnam is videotape, and you can't fix videotape. It just pixelates and looks garbage no matter what. With a film source, that is high def by definition. If you get that original, you can make it look dynamite. And that's why they're able to do that.
It also shows how, as human beings, that we really don't control our own destiny. It's really, really difficult because war, in particular World War II, which I'm reading about right now, you think in terms of Hitler came to power, the Jews were put in concentration camps, we fought the war. We won the war. Bing, bang, boom. No. You had these slow transitions of anti-Semitism in places like Hungary, where people would be enlisted into a work service where they weren't allowed to fight in the military. And it was this slow transition into imprisoning them. Things happened
also
gradually. There's this process of, oh, he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. Is the United States going to? We kind of evolve into these horrible
conflicts. He's all the way over there.
Yeah. We think of it. When you look at history, you think of it as, you slap me in the face. Yeah. I'm going to war with you.
Right.
These things happen gradually, and then they get worse and worse and worse. And there still are the one constant. And this is a good thing to remember on Veterans Day. The one constant is the human beings that are the frontliners that go in there and go into that. And imagine for all of you like me and Rob and Oscar, for all of you who have not participated in a conflict like that. Imagine for just a second what it must have felt like to be in an amphibious landing vehicle on D-Day, where you're sitting there and you know that a giant metal gate is going to open, and it's going to open into submachine gun fire on a beach, and you're in there, and a lot of you are seasick, and you're puking, and you're just waiting for this to happen,
and you're 18 years old,
and you're a kid. Yeah.
Pony,
stunning.
What's the Jackson film?
I don't have the Jackson film, but I have a number of HBO shows featuring World War II.
World War One.
Are you looking for one?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
This is why I asked you.
The numbers.
Pay attention during the show, please, for the love of God.
He's talking about World War One, the sequel, the one that started in the 40s, right? That's a different war.
Absolutely. When you write me the hate mail. This is Uncle Oscar talking.
T.O. Oscar?
This is Uncle Oscar talking to you. They're going to write me the hate mail.
They shall not grow old.
Thank you. They shall not grow old. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
They shall not grow old, and I will be. I hope I got all of it when I recorded it today, but fantastic. So to the vets, say thank you to a veteran today.
Amen.
That's our serious little message. We'll get on with the real, real stupidity of the show when I talk about what the
are these cat memes?
When we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
And nobody comes close to that.
Well, thanks, Dave. By the way, it's great to see you again,
Thank
Dave.
You.
You don't look good.
Ah.
But, no, you look terrific. Dave,
well, wishes,
you're getting older, too, and I get older, too, but I feel great.
Don, let me ask you a question. If there were no Las Vegas, where would a guy like you have had such a great career?
On a sanitation truck.
Yeah. Oh. What was the old Las Vegas like when you started out there?
Well, you know, you had to do good because everybody had a gun. No, that's true. The owners used to sit in the front and go, hey, let him do another Jew crack and I'm going to put a bullet in his head. No, they, you know, they were wise guys, but they were great. They really were. You know, if you weren't funny, you, you know, your home burned.
Right.
Anyway.
But now, did you ever have any trouble? Did anybody take you aside and say, hey, knock off the this or knock off the that?
No, Sinatra was my bodyguard.
Oh. Frank was pivotal in your career, wasn't he?
You kidding?
Yeah.
He woke up in the morning and went, the summer wind, is Rickles alive? Anyway, no, Frank was great. I could say a lot about him, of course.
Yeah.
Anyway,
give us an idea how Las Vegas has changed in 51 years.
You know, in my day, when I first started out, it was a lot of sand and a lot of guys that talk like, hey, Frank, what do you want to do later?
Yeah.
You know? And they all sat around smelling their guns. And,
smelling their guns.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., on Vegas week.
Yes.
As the Mike O'Mara Show live heads out to Las Vegas for two sold-out shows on Friday and Saturday night. We're looking forward to seeing you out there. All the way from Lakeview, Oregon, to Marysville, Washington, Sunrise Beach, Missouri, Churchville, New York, Atwater, California, and Kingston, Jamaica, man.
Oh, Jamaica, man.
That's everybody that's ever gotten off a plane in Jamaica. Old, fat, white guys going, ooh, Jamaica, man. If I was a cab driver, I want to, like,
Mike, those are all the people that also say, and I appreciate that you did it, too, Missouri.
Missouri.
It's Missouri.
Well, I do it as a fake. That's the way they say it if you live out there,
yeah.
Missouri.
Missouri.
The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Hims. Here's a fact, Jack. 66% of men start losing their hair by 35. I'm not balding yet. 35. The only thing I've got. Got hair.
All
not
over.
Balding yet, but it could hit me at any time. No, I'm thinning, like people do.
But who wants,
my family.
You got to fight it.
Who wants fat hair?
That's right. You're not safe from baldness either, even if you have your hair now.
Right.
It's 2019. Medicine and science can help you do something about it. This Black Friday, secure the best deal of all, a healthier, thicker hairline. Hims helps guys be the best version of themselves with FDA-approved products. The best part? There are no awkward in-person doctor visits. Answer a few quick questions online, and a licensed physician, that's right, a doctor, will review and determine if a prescription is right for ye. I highly recommend you check out Hims before it's too late. They can help you. Right now, our listeners can get started with Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 while supplies last. Go to 4hims.com/TMOS. That's 4hims.com/TMOS. Now, prescriptions are subject to doctor approval and require online consultation with a physician who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. And we love Hims.
Yes.
Glad to have him as part of our
Good
show.
Stuff.
So glad I can talk about this because I didn't say anything. Because no one was going negative about it. And then when I finally saw somebody go negative, oh, that's an opportunity for me. I said, I could jump on the thread and said, I agree with you, but I would rather be a dumbass who doesn't know what's going on on my own show. So what is the deal with the blonde lady from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills yelling across the...
And why is it a thing? And what is it? Is it funny? Is it, am I supposed to be laughing? I don't get it. It has caught. Now, is it catching fire just with our people, or is this everywhere?
No, I think it's everywhere. I think it's everywhere.
What is the what? It's not funny. What is? I don't get it. What's going on? What did I miss?
Well, there's. It's kind of. The way I interpret it, I've got no sincere backstory on it, but the cat is sort of an internet sensation, the way Grumpy Cat was a few years back, because he's got that sort of expression of like an F you expression on his face. Okay. And they put it counterpart to the Real Housewife screaming her head off, and then another Real Housewife behind her that sort of looks like she's saying, cool it down.
That's Kim Richards.
Right. And she's a basket case, you know.
Well, that means her husband, Maurizio, listen, I happen to...
Oh, yeah, look at this man.
In a land far away, Mr. O'Mara used to do a deep dive on the RHOBH, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And Maurizio, I believe, is going through a little problema with real estate fraud.
Oh.
Where he kind of would say, oh, that's too expensive, or that's not expensive. Then he'd snap it up and sell it at a massive profit. I don't know all the details. I just have read about it, and I haven't looked in. And I like, a lot has happened to those. Remember Yolanda?
Yes.
On the Real Housewives?
Of course.
Well, you know, he dumped her, and now he's got the American Idol girl.
Who's, which one?
Catherine McPhee.
Catherine McPhee. Thank you, Oscar.
Very good-looking young lady.
But getting back to this cat thing. So here's the thing. Where is it? Where is the funny with it? Is it?
Well,
what's the point? Counterpoint. I'm trying. You're trying to defend it. But
no,
I don't,
I'm not really defending it. I'm just trying to say why it exists. It started out a little more clear cut than it's become.
Mm-hmm.
What it would be is originally like a badly written sign that could be taken two ways. Like if an A looked like a U or something, and you know, it's like, or if it says like big sale. And someone said it says big, big sale. And so there's two different ways to read the sign, and that the first lady would say it and then the cat would reply the other way. And it was just sort of a way
I
that
totally
the,
so
don't
it's a it's a point so it's
a point counterpoint.
Yeah,
point counterpoint. And
it's
Mike,
a conflict,
but it's gotten blurred. I think
you shouldn't have to. So the original that Real Housewives episode was in the 2011. So that scene from that it was from that season. So imagine a crude cut and paste and a side by side. I'm telling you this is the truth. And the cat's like smug about it and like, please. So it's a crude meme that's been put together.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
That would work. That would work in the modern interpretation.
Or I would say someone's actually, I think it's different. I think that the Real Housewives portion of this meme is like someone's off the rails attacking.
Right.
And the cat portion of this meme is like, get a hold of yourself.
And the cat had a following before the meme, right?
Yes. So, it's an Instagram celebrity cat.
Right, of course. The best kind of cat.
Instagram celebrity cat?
Maddie, is this on your feed as well, or is it just our listeners?
No, somebody tagged me in it on the Facebook page. It had something to do with cheese. I don't really remember what else was going on.
But there
on.
Are multiple iterations, but it's being bastardized. Yeah. I will say that much.
Everyone is
taking
it to
their own. Everybody's doing it now.
I'm tired of seeing it.
I am too.
That's what I was going to say. But here's the thing. I want it to be, I get it that it's kind of a conflict thing, but it's just not, you know, it's not doing it for me. It's really not. I mean, it's just not funny.
Well, the cat,
cat
pictures will never be as good as dog pictures, period.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good cat picture.
So imagine the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. That meme, for let's say, just a fake post.
Okay.
It's us yelling at Mike to get away from the slot machine.
Okay.
All right? And then Mike would be the cat, be like, I like slot machines.
All right, I'll give you an example. All right? Jolene White, who is a huge fan of the show.
Yeah.
She is she's out of her mind about it.
Yeah, be all end all.
She's out of her mind. So hers says, I want a welder for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the lady going, I want a welder.
Yeah, yeah.
And the cat says, I've seen your welds. You're getting a grinder.
All right.
Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing at that?
You see, that's away from the original concept, I think.
She was an originator of it.
She's somebody who started
doing it early on.
What you could do is have the Real Housewife screaming TMOS Live 2019 Las Vegas,
yes.
And then the reply would be, Cat 2019?
No, no. It has to do with the same. You're not.
That wouldn't work either.
No. You're just being selfish right now.
Well, no, I'm trying to
incorporating the cat.
He wanted to incorporate.
Oh, settle down, you two. Yeah, relax.
Yes. Ham-handed.
Little joke. It's all
cat.
Cat.
Another thing that doesn't
meow.
Make
meow.
Or it could be. You know what it could be? It could be TMOS, and the cat replies TMOS.
When I'm scrolling through my Facebook, I just said it.
Oh, there she is. A moving meme.
Oh, that's scary. God, what a great... She deserved the Academy Award for that. She is so scary in that.
People that argue over pronunciation, you could... I mean, in the simplest terms, Mike, it could be Missouri. Missouri.
Mm. Yeah.
People, you know... just
that's the cat.
That's the cat. The cat would say Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Missouri.
And there are ones... If there are...
It's Missouri.
If there are visual ones that are like screwed up signs in a business, they have made me smirk. I've never busted out laughing because the cat is funny looking.
I scroll right through them now.
Yeah.
And, oh, and by the way,
like, stop with
on my
meme.
News feed right now, where I would have 50 of them,
yes.
There's one. There's one out of 700.
Just one guy.
Because that's Facebook.
Yeah.
That's Facebook when you really want to find an example of something.
Right.
No, everybody's doing their own stupid crap.
I hope it's burned bright enough for like this week. We'll just get like two or three, and then next week, not really.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in fairness to Facebook, what's really occupying my newsfeed right now is Veterans Day. That seems to be, and that's fine. I'm okay. And yesterday was the birthday of the Marine Corps as well, so I can't find any.
Easy, put it down, gentle.
No throwing of computer.
Sorry about that.
But
are you satisfied with the answer?
I don't feel satisfied because you know what?
You Google
nobody's passionate. We don't have anybody in our area that's passionate about this. And that's why
I don't feel like 45-year-old women. This is a post for women.
It's a post for women?
Yeah, excuse female.
It's a post for women.
Women like cats. Women like Real Housewives.
Of course.
It's all the...
I think the fact that we gave you the context we gave you is shocking.
Just a quiet one. Just a little guy.
That background, I thought, was a nice poll for two dudes that aren't really into cats or the Real Housewives.
You know what? Let me go to Oprah Magazine.
You have it bookmarked?
What's the cat meme, and why is that woman yelling? An explanation of the hilarious viral moment.
It's not hilarious, though.
Yeah, hilarious is,
That's very high praise for this. It's
fall 2019. Fall 2019 has given us a change of season and a brand new meme, woman yelling at a cat. Otherwise known as the cat meme. The viral photo is a mashup of a blonde woman yelling at a confused-looking white cat.
So far, this explanation is funnier than any version of the meme.
Yeah, it is. sitting in front of a plate of vegetables. After seeing the meme everywhere, OprahMag.com checked in with titular women Real Housewives of Beverly Hills alum Taylor Armstrong, who shared her reaction to the viral meme. Is Taylor the one? I think
Taylor's
Taylor
blonde.
The one that's yelling.
Okay.
All right, let me see. What is the cat meme?
She's probably another basket case. Piece of work, I bet.
The human half of the meme finds its origin from a 2011 episode of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, where then-cast member Taylor Armstrong found herself in an emotional confrontation with Camille Grammer.
Mm.
I love that
That's
show.
That's Kelsey's wife, right?
By the way, still the only housewife show. As fellow housewife Kyle Richards attempts to calm her down during the screaming scene, I was truly terrified for my life and my safety. Okay.
Well, I'm glad she didn't overdramatize it.
When I look back now, that life seems like someone else's, Armstrong tells. I think she had a really horrible run. I think like her husband might have committed suicide and that stuff. So she might be. Oprah.mag said, I have healed and grown so much stronger since that moment, and I'm such a happy place with my husband and daughter. I never imagined of all my TV moments that would be the one to become a meme sensation. While this may be a way to heal from a painful experience, Armstrong understands why she's prime for memeable moments and GIFs. I think I am easily memeable because I can be very animated, especially when I'm upset. You know, okay. There is quite a bit of Housewives content of me screaming, crying, eye-rolling, and laughing to choose from. I guess I created the Taylor Gallery for memes to use and create. Okay, she owns it.
All right.
As for the other half of the meme starring the angry white cat,
its
origins began on Tumblr when user Dead Bee for Death... What's wrong with... We're right for the picket. Come invade us right now. We're ready for this. And by the way, we're running super
late. Is that your Veterans Day message, Mike?
Come invade us right now. Tumblr, Deadbeat for Death posted a photograph of a white cat with a bewildered expression sitting in a chair in front of a plate of vegetables. The caption back then was, "He no like vegetables." I mean,
this might be the Chinese. Chinese. They got us.
Yeah. Well, cats, as a rule, not big vegetable people. Or beings. Not people. Cats aren't people, Oscar.
Oh, no.
All right. So once again, we're looking for
mammals.
I don't think you can explain something that's not easy to explain. It's just there. It's just.
I can explain it to you, Mike. Thing. You know why it's popular? It's easy.
Yeah. Okay.
Easy. People can. I can be a part of that.
I think this is. And this is. I'm going to sound like a monster. I feel like this is like a mom meme. You know what I mean? Like, this is like classic mom memes.
I think that's fine. You know why? Because it's not really harmful. It's not hurtful. No. It's not cutting edge.
No.
No. But you know what about the cat? He no like vegetables.
They use as a big example, don't be afraid to give blood, save a life. And then the cat says, don't save a life, be afraid to give blood. All right, that one I laughed at. I don't know why.
He giggled.
I giggled.
It was a giggle. There's something there.
It's a point counterpoint.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's what it is. Yeah.
But it's gotten, all right, can we agree on this at least before we go to break? Yeah. It has gotten a little bit too much play
Even the savviest of social media users who I think you've answered a question that a lot of people have been asking. If Oprah Magazine, which I did not realize is still in some sort of published.
You let your subscription lapse.
Wow.
Whoa.
Whoa.
If they're talking about it, that means not everybody knows.
Okay.
You've done the Lord's work today.
So yes. Oprah Mag being on it means that there's a whole section of America that's probably not even aware of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you know what, Mike? Well, you know who's going to read that Oprah magazine and say, "Did you see that cat thing?
Cat? What is a cat?
Get the cat on the meme? What is that?
I don't
understand
the meme.
Yeah. There we go. All right. I get it. I won't discuss it again. Thank you. Thank you very much. We have to take a break. We'll come back with more fun and more thrills right here on the Mike Oprah Show. Rob went to his 30th year class reunion.
Yes.
We got to hear about that. So we will when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show, which is Las Vegas week, where we're going out for the TMOS 10th anniversary celebration. Fantastic. Right now, you're listening to the Baz Band on Power 105 WAVA. Hey, cue that bass. Kaboom, boom. Say, don't, tum, ting, ting, fall, don. All right.
Hey, look who it is,
Mike. Jimmy Cerrito, the king of the wings. My world-famous buffalo wings have been winning awards for years, just like the Mike O'Mara Show bonus show. Wings and bonus show comedy are the perfect combination when you're hungry for a laugh. I'm trying. Buy the bonus show, and you can feel like you own your own virtual brick in the bonus show beer garden. It's not a Ponzi scheme. It's real. And it's not terrible. And it's not looking bad for you. Mm. Buy the bonus show. It'll be okay.
Stunning endorsement. Thank you, Jimmy. We appreciate that. Hey, isn't it time to digitize your lifetime of memories? You can do it. All you need is Legacy Box. You just send in your Legacy Box filled with old home movies and pictures. They'll do the rest, digitize your moments onto a thumb drive, the cloud, or DVDs. It's like magic, Rob Spiewak. Easy, easy, easy.
And it is so much fun to be able to watch a video of your child, like as a little itty bitty infant, and not have to screw with putting a little video into a camera and hooking it through the TV. It's all on your computer. You double click and it's there. It's great.
It's modern technology. We all use Legacy Box. The results are amazing. Finally, you can get all your memories organized and ensure that your family history is preserved forever. Legacy Box is the world's largest Legacy Box.
Legacy Box. He no like vegetables.
I like Legacy Box.
Meow.
Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box. They have over a decade of experience, and all the work is done by hand right here in the good old USA. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. For a limited time, our listeners can get a huge, exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/TMOS to get 40% off your first order. Get started preserving your past Go to legacybox.com/TMOS and save 40% today. And thank you, Legacy Box. Talking about technology benefiting us. That's it. We get all your stuff. I remember, by the way, Carla's 20th was this weekend, and she did not go.
She did not go.
Centerville High School, and okay. She did not go to that. And you went to your 30th
yes.
this weekend. And let me see. In a few years, I'll be going to my 115th.
Wow. No, you just went to your, was it your 40th that you went to recently?
Yes, it was.
Not
Thanks
too long
for bringing
ago.
That up. Well, thank just, you. Yes.
We're all in
yes.
the same boat. But no, it's a not. Long time. You know, 30 yes. years is a long time.
Yeah, and people change dramatically.
The class of 1989, James Madison High School, and I was responsible for the music. As you guys recall,
yes.
I got sort of roped into it, but you know what? At the end of
no,
it, it was...
you didn't. No, you didn't.
No,
you
I was
love being the
he was
man.
Asked. He was asked.
I was asked. I was asked to be part of
yeah,
the planning
but you
committee.
You love that. You're an easy lay. I mean, you're
thank
just
you,
saying,
Mike.
I mean, no. It's like Rob would yes,
but
Rob, what, is there a chance? Yes,
but I will say this. It turned out that it was very rewarding because. People really enjoyed the music, and they came up and they thanked. It was nice.
Oh,
nice to be a part
did
of it.
Did you work all night, or did you socialize?
No, I was going to tell you what I did is with my music strategy, is that I made blocks of music that were about half hour, 35 minutes long. So about every half hour, I went and hit a button, and then it played. And so it was,
and you talked?
Maybe three or four announcements all night. Okay. That's it.
Were they lengthy?
No, they weren't. They were not lengthy. Because okay. I was not all into doing that. I wanted to, you know, socialize.
V789 Toyota Camry. can you please move your car from the loading dock?
There was one lost key announcement.
There was?
There was. There was a lost key announcement.
All right. Let me just see if I've got it right. So if you're doing the announcements.
Right.
I would gather that the later announcements would probably be a little more lengthy than the earlier ones.
And maybe over the music. Maybe not even stopping the music down. But yes, I would say you'd be key. You'd be
like
dead on.
You'd talk when maybe the music wasn't in a break.
I said, hey! You know, went from 7 to midnight. And by 10:30 and no one was dancing yet, because really a lot of people wanted to talk and catch up.
Yeah.
7 to midnight, that's a lot of drinky-drinky.
So there was some coaxing to get people on the dance floor. But the music earlier, I was proud of this idea, and if you are a disc jockey for a reunion, I recommend it highly. I did a segment of music for every year we were at school. So our freshman year, this block encompassed the fall of 1985 to the summer of 1986. Number one records in order. And this is where the beer helped, Mike. I said, what about radio jingles from the year that we were in high school?
Washington's best music, 105 WABA.
They must have loved that.
They did. It was a big hit.
Cool.
Yeah, that was very cool.
That is cool.
So that was fun. And we had the big sound system. I was not shy with the volume. Big ballroom. It was at Westwood Country Club in Vienna. And we'd had the ballroom there, and they did a great job. And I don't know how they're making any money at charging $7 for a bottle of Budweiser.
Hey, you know what? You got it all over me.
You pay for that at reunions?
Oh, it was a cash bar.
Oh,
cash bar. You got it all over me. I mean, I had, my first reunion, we had 40 plus affiliates. And I walked in, and I walk into the reunion, kind of, and I get, you still doing the DJ thing? I mean, really?
Jeez.
Really, 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 really?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't DC.
Still,
still
doing that weird thing that no one understands?
Yeah, well, it was weird because at a lot of these people, I hadn't seen them since the 20th. The 20th reunion happened between the time that we got fired and we started the podcast.
Oh, that's right.
So the last time I talked to these people, I didn't have a job. And
right.
So it was, and luckily, because many of them are local.
You
and
mean the last, so your last reunion, you were unemployed.
Exactly. And
okay.
It was not a great, I'd said if we had done a 19-year reunion, I would have been skinny and employed. But the 20th caught me fat and unemployed.
That is hilarious.
So it was.
That's funny.
Last year would have been a great year to do this.
That's what, but for the 30th, fat, but employed. So that, you know, we're baby stepping. There are some great things. Boy, the 30th, boy, do you need the name tags. because, you know, we all had name tags with big font with our name and our senior pictures.
Because people become unrecognized.
Oh, my God. It's like, and I said this to my mom. She said, how'd it go? I said, do you know how if you, like, look at a picture of Elvis when he's, like, young and on the Ed Sullivan show, and you look at a picture of Elvis when he's big and fat and bloated on stage, and you can't draw a parallel line and figure out how this became that? I'm looking at people that I remember their name and I remember their senior picture, and I'm wondering, are they wearing the right name tag? There's one guy named Tom that I just kept looking at and, like, tilting my head. I said, how did that happen? You don't, was there a surgery? Would something happen?
What I found with mine, and I want to ask you if you found it with yours too, were there the people that were perfectly preserved?
Yes.
Because it's all about fitness.
Yeah.
It's all about, you know, maintaining your look and looking good. And there was one guy, I think his name was Spencer. And I could be totally wrong because I didn't hang out with him.
Well, call him Spencer.
But he looked really, and he dyed his hair too. So he looked idiot.
Exactly the same.
Dyed beard, and he looked so, everything was black, and then he was wearing black, and he was
really fit. It was weird. There were some that people that have not changed at all. And then there was people that when you look at them across the room. Yes, there were people that looked exactly the same. And then there were times when I looked across the room, I said, is that a teacher? Who is that? And then I'm thinking, well, he must be a little older than us. I said, no, he's not older. We're all in the same class. We're all within 12 months of each other, and they look like they're 65 years old.
You went with that Snow White beard?
I did. I did not dye my beard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I think, you know what? In comparison, granted, as I said, fat and employed, but I'm holding up pretty well. I think I look pretty good.
So what about the hotties in school? What about the you know, the bells of the ball?
There was a few
the
bells
queens
there.
Of the prom.
And you know what? There's the bells of the ball were the same bells of the ball from back then. Some things never change.
Were there mean girls?
There were mean girls there. I'm not going to name any names, but I know that one girl was found crying in the bathroom, and we're all dying to know why.
I'm pretty sure if I could just get this out there that David Carroll threw an ice cube at the back of my head at my 40th. So f*** you, Dave.
See,
hadn't heard
things
about this
don't change, right?
I hated you back then, and I hate you now.
Yep, people that were a-holes. I'm sorry, Tony, I didn't mean to say that. People that were a-holes then were a-holes that night. But it seems to have softened. And then there are the people, and this is a phenomenon that I do enjoy, that are dying. They must not get out a lot. Dying to tell you about all the bad things in their life. There was a young lady who posed for a picture, and she said, this is great. Please don't tag this until Tuesday. I said, okay, why? She says, well, you know, after the hearing. What? She said,
wow.
Quote, and I quote, yeah, when he held the gun to my head, I realized things were really over.
Okay, we got to take a break on that. I want you to wrap it up when we come back. Really?
That's terrifying.
Wow. It is. Wow. And that's the tone she said it in.
No.
Lighthearted.
Wow.
That is terrifying.
Well, we'll ask all the other questions, wrap this up with Rob's 30-year high school reunion. And, you know, the big questions ask her, like whether his wife attended and
that's
things
a great
like that.
Question.
That's a great, but great question. Hold that answer. We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. All right, we're going to play a game. I need to know why you don't subscribe to the bonus show. Too expensive? Wrong. It only costs pennies a day. Less than your daily latte. Bore on the floor. It's like the regular show? Wrong. It's 60 uninterrupted minutes without commercials and without censorship. So you'll hear words like shit, fuck, sucker, asshole, and piss. Used as a verb. Bore on the floor, and you'll stay on the floor, my little piggy, until you go to MikeOMaraShow.com and subscribe to the TMOS bonus show. Support the boys, and oink, little piggies, grunt for me. Oink, 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 piggies. Now f*** off, and call my helicopter. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Brand new advertiser on our show called Society 6.
Love it.
If you are looking for a thoughtful, unique gift this holiday season, you need to check out Society 6. Society 6 has a community of 350,000 independent artists from around the world. You'll find everything from wall art and furniture to home decor and lifestyle accessories. You're sure to find a unique gift for everyone on your list. I love that every Society 6 purchase pays an artist. This empowers artists to keep doing what they love. There are literally millions of designs to choose from, and Society 6 has a huge array of products. Just choose what you love, and Society 6 makes it to order and ships it directly to you. Isn't that great, Rob?
It's fantastic. And also, if you want, like, pillows and coasters, you can get stuff with the same pattern. so you can coordinate and make your house look really put together. Yeah. It's so cool.
It's wonderful to know that your gift was designed by an independent artist and crafted by an actual person and not just grabbed from a shelf in a warehouse. It's the personal touch. Everybody loves that. Give thoughtful and unique gifts this holiday season with Society6. You can get 30% off and free shipping when you use the code TMOS at s6.co/TMOS. That's s6.co/TMOS and use promo code TMOS. Society6, design your everyday with art you love. That's a great, great company. I'm really, really excited about that. And I'm going to be using them this holiday season.
Excellent.
Now back to the wrap up. So did you go spouse free or did you go solo?
Yeah, well, Carrie and I each went to each other's 10th reunions.
Right.
And we realized back then, this is ridiculous. Why are we spending this much money to go into a sit in a room with people that we don't know? So we've not been to each other's reunions for 20 years. And I think that I saw spouses and guests of there, and they looked every bit as miserable as they should. It's a horrible thing to bring a spouse to a reunion.
I've been to two, and here's where I am. I just think that there are people that, especially as they continue, that are going to get 40 was cool.
Yeah.
You know, just to be alive and that.
To be alive.
But to be honest, I'm all about something that works out schedule-wise.
Yep.
And so it's great to have something where I'm traveling or it's close or I'm up in New England. But I find that there is a group of people that really get into it.
Oh, yeah.
They're usually very local. you're pointing at him.
Rob's on the committee.
He's pointing. Yeah. There are people up on my command. I went to my last one. I won't be going to any more of them. It's just
I think you should.
Local town.
You know, I talked my mom into going to her 50th, and she was really dragging her feet. And she said she's really glad she went.
I was really glad I went to my 40th. I think that was fine.
And you know, this is dark, but this is true. And I didn't realize it was this many. We had 510 in our class. We had maybe 175 or 180 at the reunion, which is not bad. But we've had 13 deaths in our class, and that's a lot, and it's scary. It's scary.
Oh, what about the?
It's real.
What if you took that subset for society in general?
What if you did it?
I don't think it's a high number. 13 is actually probably
average.
Yeah,
it is,
probably
but average. It does underscore the mortality of everybody, and it made me think. You know what? I'm glad I saw these people again. A lot of them, not everybody, most of them. Yeah.
And so if they die, I saw them.
my goody, how's of this? Go to the reunion and skip the funerals.
The control room is dying about the death rate.
Yeah, he loves death.
Well, they
he
were all murders.
No, they were not. No, they're not related, Pony.
They were all murders.
They're all murders.
Actually, Mike, they were all.
They're all murders
from the same high school.
Pony, that's not funny. The truth of the matter is all 13 of them. There was a horrible accident at the 20th.
Oh my God. 13. So you're there.
Yes.
Here's another
great moment that you will enjoy. Yes. I did. There were a lot of people because a lot of people are local. A lot of people asked about the podcast and a lot of people listened to the podcast. It was very, very nice.
See, that's
very rewarding.
That must be cool. I would love to experience that. I don't.
And a young lady comes up to me and says, "Hey, Rob." And
except
I said,
for Frank from Branford.
And I said hi to this young lady. And I kind of remembered her from high school. But this is what I didn't remember. And she said, "I don't think I've seen you since I played strip trivia."
Oh,
wow.
My God.
And I said, "Oh, right." I had no idea. And she says, "Well, you're the only person in this room that's ever seen me naked." And it was everything within my power not to say, "But the night is young."
like in her lifetime?
No, she lost strip trivia. So, yeah, she said I was the only person in the graduating class to have ever seen her naked.
Oh, in the graduating class.
Yeah. You played strip trivia?
No, I was in the room while they were doing it, say.
We played on the Don and Mike show. Yeah. We played strip trivia.
So I was
back in the go-go the 90s.
Yeah, but
baby.
I figured the guys were doing that, but you were in the room when it was happening.
I was in the – actually, there was a switch during the strip trivia. I was in the newsroom with the guys.
I got it, got it.
And that was great duty.
Did anybody get sloppy drunk at your reunion? Anybody – any drunks?
No real big drinking because it was, I think – it was cost prohibitive. I didn't see anyone sloppy drunk. I saw some people. There was no staggering.
I guess that might be the generational difference
also,
with my group.
They're old.
We invented binging
in
our generation.
And also a big tip of the cap to the catering services of Westwood Country Club when they said that they were going to put out heavy appetizers. And you know how when you go to a really nice fancy place and they'll put a sign by the food that tells you what it is, like braised chicken with a goat cheese reduction or whatever. And they had you really don't need a sign that says tortilla chips. Those I
Wait
know.
A minute. Did they say heavy hors d'oeuvres?
And there were some, but you know, they rounded it out with chips and cookies and stuff like that. So not great. But I will say this, overall, a great reunion. People, only a few real standout a-holes from the class, and you know who you are. Maura, who is
When you say that, did they behave that way at the
reunion? A little bit.
What makes you an a-hole at a reunion?
Yeah. When a gentleman, I'll go ahead and just say it because
it
really threw
yes!
me. This threw me when he came up and he started very nicely talking about how we've both had a nice run in the business, and he's, you know, he does media as well. And he said, and it's funny to think. And I said, what? He says, your big starting moment was an event I created. You competed in Mr. Madison, and that's where you got your start. And I said, oh. And he said, yeah, I, you know, without that, who knows where you would have been.
Ah, this guy.
And I was with a friend of mine standing there. Her name was Jen. And she heard this, made eye contact with me, and just walked away. And I just said, well, you know what? I guess thank you for starting
right, so
my
what,
career.
He's but in he, media?
Yeah, but he was essentially taking credit for my career. Like,
is,
I wouldn't have done it.
Is he successful?
He's successful, but he's...
Is he more successful than you are?
I would say, well, he has an Emmy Award, but I think it might be a technicality. And he does some TV work.
Is he on camera?
Sometimes, but one of my favorite moments...
Is he a local TV person?
No, he's not local. He's more of an internet... He does some stuff with ESPN.
Oh,
you might
really?
Actually, you might know his name if I tell it to you. But I don't want to tell it. I don't want to give him
I
the
don't
satisfaction.
Blame you. I'm not going to make you do
but
that.
But I will say this. One of the greatest moments is when
I can't wait to hear
a delightful young lady from our theater department, she was also in the band, her name is Allison, walked up to him afterwards and said, so, I hear you're famous or something? Just to totally to knock his feet out from under him. Like, because, you know, he's very...
Does he look good?
He looks fine.
Can you send us a text with the name? We'll respect your privacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I will respect completely. Yeah. We do that.
You're going to have to show me the text as my phone is down.
Is he fit? Is he in good shape?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's some of that going on. But
I hate when people do that, like, just...
They're
throwing you shade. They're paying you a compliment, but it's a backhanded compliment.
Oh, and it was
so sugar-coated. But it's about them.
Themselves. Yeah. Yeah.
It was so sugar-coated.
But if he's in media, that's what people in media do.
Yeah. Not everybody.
See, I try to. Well, no, I no. You're right. Because you know what? I'm going to give myself credit. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't try to do that.
My name?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah. I mean,
did you send it to me?
Yeah. You might know him because I'll explain later. But there's a chance you might know him. In any case.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honor you.
Thank you.
That's fine. That's fine. I get that.
And
I
went up to Jen after he said it, and I said, was he just taking credit for my career? She said, yeah, that's why I walked away. She moonwalked right out of it because it was that. And the way it was presented, you know, it was a very weird moment. There wasn't a lot of that.
I know the guy you're talking about, and the guy is, I get it. I don't know.
Most people.
Now you put me in an awkward position because he did something for me.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
Okay, he made the video for my mom.
Oh, this guy's actually
the 80s.
This guy's famous.
Lived in my neighborhood.
Yeah,
did you know
I take everything back.
I didn't know he was in your neighborhood. No,
is this the same guy? Then is this the way? Is this guy? I don't know, I'm gonna show you the cameras.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy's famous.
Yeah.
He gets a pass.
Yeah.
He's fine.
He's famous.
Yeah, he's big time.
Well, then allow me to rephrase what I said. Yeah. Thank you for giving me a career.
Yes, that's what I would say as well if I was.
No, he didn't give you a career. He was just probably trying to make happy talk.
Yeah. Well, it didn't make me very happy.
Because you're, you know, he's fit and kind of, you know,
athlete. Famous.
Type of guy.
And he launched me.
No wonder you would hate him. He what?
He launched me.
He launched you.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
All right. But also,
this is awkward.
Isn't it funny how quickly when we found out and I put everything together and you were like, wait a second, I know who that guy is. And we're all like, it's not so bad.
I know. I do it on a personal note. It was a personal thing.
Yeah.
It was a personal thing.
He did a great job. Well, obviously he's talented. If he has an Emmy Award.
Yeah, it's not an Emmy by default, though, as you said.
Technicality.
No, it's not.
It was a write-in. No, I think he got it on a write-in.
No, see, when you say that, you diminish the respect. You want people to respect you. You got to respect them as well.
No, I don't. Not at all.
He doesn't. You heard
it. We have to take a break. No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
And also, Mike, real fast. I want to thank Maura Florimonte for putting the reunion together because she did a great job.
What's her name?
Maura Florimonte.
Maura Florimonte. She's a good girl.
And Phil Hargis and TJ Walsh, the only two guys out of 180 attendees to help me with the equipment. Thank you guys for caring.
They volunteered and helped you?
Very absolutely. Yeah.
Way to go, people. Way to go. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate the reunion?
A 9. It was fantastic.
Oh, good. I'm glad you had
so
a good
So worth
time.
It. I laughed so hard. It was great.
And I completely understand what you're saying about that guy.
Yeah.
I do. I get it. Okay. I get it. All right? It just that happens to be the story. I'll tell you off the air.
I can't wait.
We'll tell you.
Sticks in my craw.
And we will come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, y'all. It's Angie with a new episode of the Oh My Golf Show out. Meow. Come relax with us among the whiskers. Yep, we're trying out cat yoga. Paging Dr. Ken, the very funny Ken Jung, pays me a compliment and makes my life. And Halloween is over. Merry Christmas. We're talking about the Christmas creep. And no, it's not a weird guy in a mall parking lot. Subscribe now to the Oh My Golf Show on YouTube or Apple Podcasts.
Oh, man, I crave the next promo that the wonderful Angie Goff starts insulting me again. Please. Missed that. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. The New York Giants. Big Blue. The G-Man. The Big Blue Wrecking Crew. Dominating the NFL since 1925. With an occasional exception. Like yesterday.
Oh, no.
The New York Jets handed them a loss that was all kinds of disappointing.
Yes.
No one likes disappointment, which is why everyone likes the bonus show. It's always there, always great. The bonus show is a commercial-free, no-holds-barred sixth episode of TMOS and features Mike, Oscar, Rob, Maddie, and Frank Gifford. I mean, Pony.
Oh.
Just click the banner on our website and you get access to all of our bonus content and you'll be helping TMOS. It's your passport to the Asport.
And launch your career.
The TMOS Bonus Show, brought to you by Sunny Surplus. Sunny Surplus, the D.C. area's destination, founded in 1948 to sell World War II surplus. They also sell camping supplies. But face it, you're not only going to buy those. You're only going to buy those hollowed out, authentic WW2 grenades. And remember, you can't find our camouflage pants. That means they're working. Sunny Surplus. Closed since March of 2008. Not affiliated with Sonny Jurgensen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
News.
Boo. Great news for those of you who can't think for yourselves. And her second time mentioned on the show today.
Yes.
Oprah released her annual Favorite Things Holiday Gift Guide.
Yay.
And this weekend, I was a sucker. And I went through and looked at the guide because I'm dumb that way. Well, you know, I don't know what's wrong with me. As usual, plenty of stuff the average person can afford, but Oprah's got Oprah money, you know. So,
yes.
Of course, some items are going to be out of most people's price range, like the $878 espresso machine, the $195 lighted makeup mirror, the $108 smart dog collar, complete with an activity monitor and GPS tracking.
For Santos.
And the $1,599 exercise bike. And then there's the hot sauce. The 6-ounce bottle of hot sauce. A 6-ounce bottle of hot sauce that costs $35. But this is no ordinary hot sauce. It's called Truff. And it's made with ripe chili peppers, organic agave nectar, white truffle, and coriander. It's described as a limited flavor experience. So pinkies out.
Limited wings. Interest.
Thank you. Yeah, not me. One of the weirdest legends in pop culture history, and a man that we have gotten a lot of mileage with on our show, is David Hasselhoff.
Yes.
His popularity in Germany is something we've always discussed, and it's real. It's just bizarre. But in a recent interview, the Hoff explained how it all got started, and I found it fascinating.
Okay.
It was 1985. Knight Rider had been canceled. His marriage was over, and his first rock album was a bust in the United States, so he was a little down.
Sure.
His agent called to tell him a young woman had won dinner with him in a magazine contest. Her name was Nikki, and she was from Austria, and she proceeded to tell him that his album was number one in her home country.
Wow.
And he looked for a concert promoter in that part of the world, And soon he was selling out shows in Austria, Germany, and even Switzerland.
Wow.
Wow,
so cool. I just love that. It is cool. Then in 1989, the Hoff really cemented his legacy with the song Looking for Freedom.
Sure.
You remember that
one? Yeah, Berlin Wall.
The Berlin Wall, exactly.
It became an anthem for Germans and their newfound freedom after the defeat of communist East Germany and the fall of the Berlin Wall. So that's the story.
That's good.
But that takes a little savvy to be like, oh, I wonder if I can do concerts out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And go out and do some sold out venues and like stadiums.
Hell yeah.
You think he's
still don't get it. Europeans, you know, with Jerry Lewis, the French, and the Germans with the Herr Hoff. It's amazing. Really.
How far do you think he got with that contest winner? Third base?
They had burgers on the floor of his hotel.
Yep.
This is a great story. Former NHL star Jeremy Roenick says that back in 1992, he played two rounds of golf with Michael Jordan, where they both sucked down about 10 Bud Lights. And Jordan had a game against the Cavs that night.
Oh, no.
So Roenick started teasing Jordan, saying he was going to put all his money on Cleveland. This is the story goes like this, that Jeremy Roenick plays golf with Michael Jordan
right.
early in the morning, and they're knocking back beers. They come in from playing 18. Jordan says, you want to go out and play another 18? On a game day that Jordan had.
Oh, my
had,
God.
Wow.
And they're drinking in the morning. They're drinking Bud Lights. So they're out there. So Roenick says to him, I'll bet you that Jordan says to Roenick, I'll bet we win by 20 points. Roenick. And I have more than 40 points. Roenick took the bet. Long story short, Jordan scored 52 points, and the Bulls won by about 26.
Wow.
Roenick says Jordan was probably the best athlete he's ever seen.
That's amazing.
They're out there partying.
What was the bet? Dollars?
Thousands of dollars.
Damn.
A couple of grand. Jordan's a notorious gambler on the golf course. Are there any Thanksgiving foods that you're really not looking forward to? A new study asked 2,000 people to name the foods they secretly hate, but still eat because of tradition or just to be polite. I'm in this list. 68% said there's at least one classic Thanksgiving food they secretly dislike but eat anyway. And the most popular answer was the canned cranberry sauce.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, my daughter's favorite. She loves cranberries of any variety. Some people hate the taste, and some find the can shape revolting. You like the shape of the can?
Yeah, it's pretty. Perfectly cylindrical. But I also make it. I make cranberry sauce, too. That's excellent. But the canned stuff is what you need for sandwiches after the fact.
What's pretty about the can?
Because it's perfectly round.
So do you have the can and homemade?
Usually,
Thanksgiving table? Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Because if you slice it thin, they're like discs.
Okay.
Yeah.
30% said
they
secretly dislike it, but still eat it if it's served. Here are the top five answers. Canned cranberry sauce, 29% hate it, but eat it anyway.
Okay.
I feel that way about the canned stuff, but I do like the homemade.
Yes.
I like the homemade a lot. Green bean casserole, I'm in that group, 24%.
Not bad.
There's so many better
things
on the table.
That's not a staple go-to.
It's a staple, but I don't even put it on my plate.
French fried dehydrated onions.
This garbage. Horrible. Sweet potatoes or sweet potato casserole. I'm not a big eater of the sweet potatoes.
With you there. With you there.
Yeah, I don't. Pumpkin pie, don't eat it. So let me go. Green bean casserole, canned.
I love
one, two,
pie.
Three, four. The top four of the five I do not eat on Thanksgiving.
And you know what? I don't know if it is the fifth. Can I guess the fifth? Because I know one for you.
Yeah,
you
go ahead.
Creamed onions.
Creamed onions, not on the list.
Oh,
turkey.
Don't.
Turkey.
What?
19%. Almost one in five people secretly hate eating turkey on Thanksgiving. I'm not surprised.
I'm one
that.
Of them.
There are people, you don't like turkey. A lot
you
of
keep,
people
but
don't
do
like
you
turkey.
Do you keep it a secret? That's what makes this so sensational. It's a secret.
So if there's a honey baked ham, my ratio to ham to honey is probably 80%.
Ham to turkey. Ham to turkey.
Ham
to turkey.
I wish it was ham to honey. Ham to turkey would be 80% honey baked ham, 20% turkey.
You're not alone. The survey also found
23%. Don't tell anybody, but I don't like turkey.
The survey also found 23% of us have no interest in leftovers. That's un-American.
That's BS.
That's total.
People are lying.
People are lying. Joy. Yeah. One more random stat for you. For some reason, we buy more Cheese Whiz around Thanksgiving than any other time of year. In the lead up last year, there was a 158% jump in sales.
Maddie, what's your hot take?
That hurts me so much.
Yeah, it's not real, is it? It's artificial. And now a little something, something. There's a guy named James Short. He's in Lake Ozark, Missouri. And on Saturday night, he tried to rescue some sex trafficking victims that he saw inside of an adult store. except they weren't sex trafficking victims. They were mannequins in lingerie. Not clear if James mistakenly thought they were actual people or if he was confused and maybe drunk or high, but either way, he smashed the window of the store to supposedly try to save them. A manager who was working at a bar across the street saw him, grabbed him until the cops came, and he was arrested and charged with aggravated burglary. In the words of Paris Hilton, that's hot.
Oh, no.
That's a good excuse.
There you go, everybody. Hey, you're doing a little disco thing. This feels like we're at the Rob Spiewak reunion right here. Hey, how you doing? Oh, thanks for coming up and saying hi. I appreciate that. Fantastic, everybody. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back with, hey, Rob's Magic Audio Ball. Happy 30 years of being out of high school.
The time is almost here. For a 10th anniversary celebration.
TMOS Live 2019.
Get ready for a jam-packed weekend filled with all the sights and sounds of Las Vegas with gambling, karaoke, the food, the fun, and pancakes.
Pancakes? Hey, Jimmy, are you forgetting something?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Thanks, Rob. The main events, the TMOS 10th Anniversary Spectacular, Friday, November 15th and Saturday, November 16th, in the Council Chambers Theater at the Zappos Corporate Center.
Attaboy, thank you.
Find out the latest on all the events at the TMOS Live 2019 page on Facebook.
Hey, call the neighbors and wake the kids. You don't want to miss this.
TMOS Live 2019. Sin City will never be the same.
We will see you there. Could I get another beer, please?
The Mike O'Mara Show has balls.
Yep.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Congratulations to Zappos on their 20th birthday.
20, Oscar, 20.
Yes, 20.
We are heading out there this week. We're excited about that. They're great people at Zappos. Let's have a dunking booth, huh? Shall
yes,
we do that?
I'd like that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, no? Thanks to over 1,000 trusted brand names, Zappos.com is able to help millions of customers create a long-lasting wardrobe that they love. We are excited to continue our thriving partnership with Zappos. Our partnership is built on listener support. So, whether it's footwear, outerwear, anywhere, basically, if you wear it, get it at Zappos. We just ask that you support us both by accessing Zappos through our website. Just click the banner. As always, Zappos.com provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Thank you, Zappos.com. Thanks to you, there's never been a better time to look your best. Thank you, Zappos. See you Friday, bitches.
Bitches.
You wrote that. Say that. Let's open up the audio vault for Jimmy's partner, Rob Spiewak.
Hey, Jimmy. Thank you, Jimmy.
He that sent was a me, weird promo, right?
Yeah, it is a little weird. Well, he sent sent me the lines isolated, so yeah. I didn't know what I was reacting to.
Oh, got
so
it.
So when
it,
I heard it, it was it. Every bit as a surprise to you as it was to me.
Yeah.
So.
I'm just a girl who can't say no. No, I'm sorry. That's all right. No, it was fine.
I'm an easy lay, as you said. I'll be boning everybody after the show. Line up, please, by height.
He's going to start with HJs.
That's right. Two at a time. You.
That's a disturbing image right there. It's Vegas week.
It is. It's a, you know, Mike, but it's also Veterans Day, he said, segue
yes,
nicely.
Yes, nice segue. Thank you.
I found a great list of musicians that served in the military.
Oh, cool.
And I'll play some of their and spotlight them at this time.
Well, since okay. My baby left me,
Elvis, of course, was in the Army.
Mm-hmm. Very, very well-known veteran.
Yeah,
right.
Of course. Big deal when he got drafted and lost a lot of money for the country because of taxes. Johnny Cash was in the Air Force.
I didn't know that.
Chris Christopherson, the Army. Okay. John Fogerty, Army Reserves.
Wow.
Ray Manzarek, the Army. B.B. King, Army veteran.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. Ice-T was in the Army.
She called me Mr. Bombastic.
Shaggy was a Marine.
Shaggy was a Marine. I love Shaggy. Can't touch this.
MC Hammer, Navy vet.
Really?
And Mike, give yourself a hug.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody in my battalion and my company. What a brigade.
He was
you
an Army.
A great brigade, baby.
Army veteran Tony Bennett, 93 and still alive. So if you see Tony Bennett, thank him. But don't thank surprise you. Him.
Hands together, self-hug, right?
Exactly.
Greetings.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's such a great way. I might do that on stage Friday night. I might do the hands around me and then the little pray. That might be a cool one.
You can pull
one.
It off.
I'd like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
This is, you know, they've made a live action version of Dora the Explorer. Dora was huge for Julia when she was of that age range. Does Michael do Dora the Explorer?
We went to see the movie.
We
see the live action movie. Yeah, when it came out in the theater, it's online now. You can get it. But I actually found it to be a somewhat engaging live action. I went in because I'm so riveted on that kind of content.
Right.
I assumed it was going to be a feature film animated, which, you know, I was getting ready for nap time.
Right.
But now I still slept in the movie, but not as much as I normally do.
Not a sound sleep. It was fitful sleep.
I'm really not a bad father. It's just I don't like those movies. Trailers. I started to fall asleep in the trailers.
I found this online. This made me laugh so hard. This is a very grown up, not dirty, it's just grown up content. Dora's father in the movie is played by Michael Pena, and he does a vocal impression of what it's like to go to a rave and listen to music. He's warning Dora that if she goes to a rave, this is what she's going
to
hear.
You're going to be invited to some parties. And some of these parties, they're called raves. The music is, it sounds like this.
Yeah. This is from the movie, right?
Can't stop it.
And that's why I thought the movie was okay.
Yeah, it's like real content, right?
It was really funny. Yeah. I mean, that was a funny moment. And the girl...
Go get it!
Now I remember there were moments in that movie. That's why I had a positive vibe. It actually had moments that made me laugh. It was good.
Okay, so I'm glad you saw it. I'm glad we were able to hear it. And I close with this. Remember, I don't trust birds. Don't like talking birds at all.
Right.
Because they live too long. This is in Taiwan. A girl is kissing her parrot, which you shouldn't do. It's not right.
No, I think you can, like, tear your lips right off your face.
But the parrot is now imitating the smooch noise that, like, a mom would make when she kisses you. You know, like, mwah.
Yeah.
Don't trust a bird that does this. See?
Birds.
I hate birds. You know what?
Why do you hate birds?
You know what? It's like Thanksgiving, Mike. I secretly hate birds. That's your Magic Audio Vault. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Thank you for the reunion story. And,
my pleasure.
Will you go to your 40th?
If I'm alive. Mike, I'll either attend or be on the table with the other 13.
We have to go now. Thank you. Don't forget, subscribe to the bonus show. We'll be back with another one. By the way, programming note, we're doing three shows this week. There will be a bonus show.
Yes.
And we're going to see you in Las Vegas over the weekend. And thank you for the invite, Ginger. I will not be able to go to Topgolf with you Thursday morning.
Aww.
I will be traveling that day. But have fun with Renique and some of our other friends. I forgot that there are people in Las Vegas already that are making a week of it.
Aid listeners are still there from last year.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, I am a degenerate gambler, and if you hit really, really big, I would be glad to take some of your profits. Thank you very much. For Oscar Santana and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara.
Thank you.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I'm afraid we have a bad image, sir. Market research shows people see you as something of an ogre.
You're a club room and eat their bones.
If you want to throw down in fisticuffs, fine. I've got Jack Johnson and Tom O'Leary waiting for you, right here.
Come on, Charlie. Let's get out of here. I'll get even with him if it's the last thing I ever do. Slugworth wants a gobstopper, he'll get one.
Bow to your sensei. Bow to your sensei!